We thank the Lord for allowing us to be back in his house tonight again to worship. Thank God for the privilege. God's sure good to us. And if we have any visitors, we want to say to our visitors, you're very welcome. We're glad you come. We want to say we've had a lot of folks have been gone. God's blessed to get back safely, and you're back, and we've seen you, and it just blessed us. And so we're just glad to have everybody that's here tonight. And I want to read some scripture from the third chapter of the book of 2 Peter. And I want to read two verses, in chapter 3, we'll read verse 8 and verse 9. It reads this way. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And how wonderful is that? God cared enough about us. He gave his son to die on the cross, raised him from the dead, and he didn't want any of us to perish. God gave us the opportunity to get saved and go to heaven. But it's up to us, when God knocks at our heart, when God offers us that opportunity, it's up to us by faith to accept it. So let's all stand for a moment of prayer. As we pray, precious Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you're such a wonderful and good God, and you're patient, long-suffering toward us. God, thank you that you reach out to us, and we praise you, God, for allowing us to come back to your house tonight. We ask you to bless this service. God, speak to each one tonight according to our need, and bless us and help us. And God, we pray and we thank you and ask you for these blessings in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated, and we turn over to the choir. Brother Taylor.
Page 401.
Thank you. time, if nobody else has anything, we'll have our choir come down and we're going to turn it over to whoever's going to open up tonight.
Thankful to be here this evening, and as always, just another opportunity to be in the Lord's house. I don't really have a lot on my heart tonight. I feel like asking if somebody's got this on their heart tonight to open up. I just feel a little bit like asking if somebody's got it, and you're more than welcome. I didn't think I'd get a great response on that, but that's all right. We'll ask everybody to stand. Anybody got any prayer requests? Remember all those. Anybody got any spoken requests?
Amen.
Remember Sister Judy. Continue to remember him. Yes, continue to pray for the Mag family.
Yes.
You can kind of feel the excitement of it. I'm excited for the little kids as they walk in, but I just hope that they know the reason for the season.
Yeah.
And I just hope that it touches somebody's heart this week.
Reminds me, I seen a picture one of y'all put on Facebook when you guys were at Stones Church, all them little kids up there, and when I seen that, my thought was, well, there's something to pray for. All them kids, Lord willing, someday he's going to call them, and we need to be doing our job when that time comes. Anybody else got anything? Let's Brother Mike just lead us in prayer. and we're thankful to be here and thankful for the great crowd we have. It's just a fantastic crowd for a Wednesday night. I always like to try to have something. That's when I know I'm going to have to open up and struggle. I like to have a scripture or thought or something. And I told my wife I was struggling a little bit, and she mentioned what Bob said about having something in your basket. I said, my basket's empty right now. I ain't got nothing, but Lord did give me a little thought on that. If you're saved, you got something in your basket. You got something to be thankful for. If I can just stand here and say thank you for saving my soul, that's all that matters. I'd like to have, some more words or scripture to read, but if I can just thank him, feel his spirit a little bit, that's what we're here for. Anybody got a song or testimony? Pray for it, church.
I was thinking today of my life here on earth, thinking back over the years. There's been a lot of heartache, sorrow, and pain. There's been disappointment and fears, but there's also been joy.
Amen.
And a deep settled peace that only the born again know. His spirit, he leads me, keeps me, and feeds me. What he gave when he made me whole. So don't worry about me. When it comes time to leave, I'm going to a far better place. On heaven's bright strand, not made with hands, basking in his love and his grace. Singing his praises through countless ages, with my Savior forever I'll be. His blessed assurance gives me strength for endurance. When the call comes, don't worry about me. How precious it's been with Jesus, my friend, walking together each day. He's been with me on the mountain, with me through the valley, and he'll be with me through each trial that I face. But I know there's a time, a place, and a day when my journey towards home is complete. When my work here is done and my last song is sung, he'll call, but don't worry about me. So don't worry about me. When it comes time to leave, I am going to a far better place. On heaven's bright strand, not made with hands, basking in his love and his grace. Singing his praises through countless ages, with my Savior forever I'll be. Blessed assurance gives me strength for endurance. When the call comes, don't worry about me.
Appreciate that song. Anybody else got anything on their heart tonight? Pray for Brother Arnold.
Seems like that some days, you know, you get something on your mind, and it seems like today I've thought all day about how wonderful it would be, ye, if I could just get to be with God's children one more time. And there's been times in my life when I thought that wasn't ever going to happen. But the Lord makes all things possible. And he come, and I owed a great debt that I couldn't pay. But he paid my debt that he did not owe. And it seemed like when we just say, Lord, we thank you for your saving grace. And I think about that, just thank you just don't seem to be quite efficient. But I appreciate getting to be with God's children this evening. And this is, I'm not no singer, but there's some songs that I really like. And I try to sing them. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, yet his eyes was watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions, I've had dreams, I even held them in my hand. But I never knew they could slip right through, like they were only grains of sand. But the anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I was once young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty mine eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, that's when God proved his love for me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds.
We appreciate that song. Appreciate Brother Arnold. Anybody else got something on their heart tonight? Turn over to my pastor.
Amen. Thank the Lord for being here. Thank God for what I can feel. I appreciate feeling the Lord. And it's a blessing to come to worship. I'm like somebody's already said, I've got a great crowd, and it blesses my heart to see people come to the house of the Lord, and then we get together in fellowship, and then begin to worship, and the Holy Spirit moves, and I appreciate the choir singing, the opening up, the special singing, everything's been done. Keep praying. I don't know which one of these preachers might feel like preaching, but we'll just open it up to them, and whoever does, whoever's got it on your heart, just come ahead. Just follow to your heart, follow the Lord. And I say this time after time, but it's worth saying again, I appreciate our preaching brothers. I thank the Lord for them. They're such a help to me and our church and other churches. I have other pastors and people from other churches reach out to me from time to time and mention one of our young preachers or more than one and different ones and comment they've been a blessing to their church and helped them. So I appreciate that. So whoever, and you don't have to be from Lima to preach tonight. You might be visiting and feel like preaching. And you can do that too. I guess he knows who I'm talking to. kind of picking on you a little, Aaron, but you're just as welcome as anybody here, buddy. Whoever feels like preaching, any of you, got it on your heart. Just come follow the Lord. And while we're waiting, if somebody else got a song or a testimony, you're welcome to do that too. If God gives you something, do it. It's always right time and place when the Lord gives you something. So, anybody? All right. I'm honest. Any of you is welcome. But at this point in time, I give quite a bit of time, and I don't know. But I suspect Aaron might have something on his heart. If he does, I'm going to turn over to him. Glad to have him with us. Glad him and his family's been here with us. Appreciate him.
I'll say it's enjoyed the day, and we got to just spend some time over at Ron and Lynn's, and got to just sit and enjoy just looking out on the front porch and how peaceful it was. And we came back in and started talking about how songs just mean a lot to you and which ones give you strength. And I just told Lynn, I said, probably I think one of the most beautiful songs for a funeral was the one that Emily just sung. I heard that sung and at one of the members at Hensley's, and there was a shout that went out when they started singing that song. If you've been saved by God's grace and you leave a testimony behind, there's a peace that comes with that. And I hope that if you've been saved, I hope that your family knows what you got. I hope you've told it so many times that they could almost recite it. But I have heard so many say, we never heard a testimony. And their heart broke. I'll just say this. I know whenever Dad passed away, there wasn't a worry or a dread, because you knew what he had. He testified it so many times and shouted about it. So there wasn't a dread in the sense of you didn't have to worry about where he is going. And I'll say this, in the scripture it talks about that we're supposed to mourn one's birth and rejoice in one's death. Seems like that's total opposite to what this man wants to do. But when you can start thinking about what they walked into versus what they left. And I just got a few verses, and today we was also thinking about an old song that he gave us years ago, and is one of the ones that just kind of, first time I heard it, the first couple verses just threw me off, and I knew it had to be something coming, but I didn't know how it was going to turn. And the more I listened, I thought, oh, I know where this is going. And I'll probably get the key wrong and everything else, and I might just sing just a little bit, but the chorus is, if you knew him like I know him. We all should have a testimony so much that we ought to feel like nobody's got what I got. No, nobody knows him like I know him. And what I'm saying is, I wouldn't trade with anybody. You know, I read about Paul, and a lot of times I'll get caught up in the scripture, and I think, man, what a life he lived. And all the things that he suffered, and he'd go through torture and torment and all this stuff, and he'd still keep on praising God. But even with all his testimonies, even with all the things that he went through and all that, I still wouldn't trade with him. Because when I was an eight-year-old boy, God spoke to me. And I knew he spoke to me, and there might have been a million other people he spoke to that day, but it felt like I was the only one.
Sure.
When God speaks to you, it will feel like you're the only one.
Yeah, but.
And I'll say this, whenever you start praying, it ought to feel like you're the only one that he's talking to.
Yeah, but.
That's how he makes me feel. When I get through, now I'm saying it ain't every time I get down on my knees that I'm able to get through and talk to him like he's right in front of me. But the times that I get through, it feels like it's just me and him. It feels like the whole other world is just on mute and on hold. And he just puts me in a little spot, just me and him. And it feels like I'm his only child. That's how special he makes us feel and how much he loves you. And I'll say this, I don't know how he does it. There could be a million people that got saved the same day I did. I don't know how he's able to do that, how he's able to hear your prayer and my prayer at the same time, but he does. He's unbelievable. And how he's able to do all that is beyond my mortal comprehension, but I know he's able to do it. And one thing that's always amazed me, there's been a lot of times where I'd heard somebody preach, and they'd be preaching on salvation, and it'd be instructing me, correcting me, whipping me all at the same time. And I thought, well, he's preaching on salvation. I've already got that. How's he correcting me at the same time? Because God's word is able to divide. And it's able to teach, to preach, to instruct, to counsel, whatever it is. Whenever it gets in the Spirit, it's able to divide and give. Whatever you need, it's here. I think a lot of times you think whenever you hear, especially whenever I was young, I thought, well, they're not preaching on this, so evidently it don't apply to me. I'm saved. I don't have to worry about it. But the more you start listening intently and you start searching the spiritual part, there's a part for everybody in every service, if you'll have it. And I know a lot of times I just got to say a few things, and I promise I'll get to where God's going. Whenever mom and dad set up the table, they didn't make nothing special. I think a lot of times today in our lives, for our kids, we'll go above and beyond on what we should. Mom and dad would set a meal. If you didn't like what they had, you didn't eat that much. They said what we have is what you eat. You know why they said that? God's the same way. God will have a spread.
Now, you might not like this or that, but it doesn't mean it ain't for you. A lot of times we like to pick and choose. Well, I'll take this, I'll take that. I like some of this. That sounds good. I don't want correction, so I'll just take this encouragement. And we'll try to keep out all the things that we don't want. When he's got the whole table spread, he's got every part in there for you if you'll take it. But the point is a lot of times we'll have to take it. You might not want it, but go ahead and try it. And I promise you, when I've done that in my life, and say, Lord, wherever I'm at, whatever part of the service is for me, let me eat it up. Let me take everything you got. Because I found when you just try to pick and choose what you want out of the service, it don't work out too good. Because it won't benefit you. Because you're trying to tell him, this is what I want, this is what I need, and he's saying, no, it ain't. There are so many times Dad would get so excited at Christmas time that he could not wait to give us our Christmas gifts. And he would wake us up in the middle of the night, and he'd say, look what I got you. And he'd be so excited that he could not wait to give us the gift that he got.
Amen.
Now, even if I wouldn't have liked what my dad got me, I would have acted like I loved it with all my heart because I knew it pleased him. Yeah. How much more my Heavenly Father knows what I have need of.
Yeah.
There's been times he's woke me up in the middle of the night and I'll say, I don't need that. I'll talk to you in the morning. But yet I would have never done that to my earthly father. But yet my Heavenly Father would knock on my heart's door, wake me up and say, I want to spend some time with you right now. Won't you open up your Bible? Won't you get down and pray? And I'll say, I'm a little tired right now. The thing is, my earthly father, he thought that what he got me, I would like. Or it would help me. You know, the difference is my Heavenly Father knew what I needed, and I said I didn't want it. It's funny how we are. You know,
yep.
My dad was so excited whenever he'd give that to us, and he thought it would be so happy. I would have never displeased him because I knew how much it meant to him. How excited he was, you could feel, and he couldn't wait to give it to you. Can you imagine how excited God is? When he wants to speak to you, wants to teach you something, wants to instruct you, and he knows it'll be just what you need, and then you say, no, I don't want that. When he's saying, no, you need it, it'll be the best thing for you if you'll take it and apply it. It'll be just what you need. You might not think you need it right now. It might be something 5 years down the road. It might be next week, and you're saying, no, I don't need it. I know there's a time I came up, and I think it was one of the first times I came up, and Terry came over and he said, I want to give you some money. And I said, well, no, I don't need that. That ain't why I came. He said, I know it isn't. But he said, I want to give it to you. Lord's put it on my heart to give it to you. And I said, no, Terry. He said, let me tell you something. And it helped me out a lot because maybe it was pride. I don't know what it was, but I didn't want that money. He said, you don't know what might be right down the road. God put this on my heart, and there's a need for it. And he said, you might break down just down the road, and you might have need of this. So don't turn away when God puts it on somebody's heart to want to give. He said, you might hurt somebody else in the future that wants to give, and by you saying no, it might hurt them from ever giving again. And that helped me out, because a lot of times we make it all about us, and we don't see the other side of it. A lot of times we think, well, no, I don't want that, whether it's pride or whatever, and we won't receive what somebody's wanting to give us. If we'll just take a lot of things with a smile and say thank you, and I guess I get so upset at my kids sometimes when they give an awful looking face when somebody tries to do something nice, and it burns me up. And they'll make a little mean face or snarl their lip or whatever it is, and it goes all over me. But how many times that God wants to do the same thing, and we'll snarl our lip at him? We'll say, I don't want that. Don't tell me this. I don't want to hear that. And yet we'll sit there and throw us a little temper tantrum. But as I was thinking today, and that song came on, and I was going through an old song playlist, and that came on, and it started making me think of all the times that he showed up for me in my life. And it says, I walk by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see
Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journey to a garden where old Joseph left him lay, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. I'm so thankful. You know, so many times we can look back on our life and look at what he's done for us. And I just started thinking about him and how what he meant to other people and the times that he really stood out in their life. And I started thinking about the day that that the Lord passed away and Mary and them went to the temple. And I was thinking about, you know, I've heard so many of them say, so many people that I've talked to over the years say, I wish I could have got a walk with him and talk with him. And they said, well, maybe if I could have touched him and talked with him, maybe I'd believe in him a lot more. Maybe I'd serve him better. But I said, well, you got to look at all those men that walked and talked with him. I said, they would still die.
Yeah.
I said, they got out on the sea and they thought they were surely going to sink and he's in the boat with them. Yeah. I said, how in the world would you sink when he's in your boat? It ain't going to sink. You can walk on water if you think it's going to start sinking. But a lot of times we'll think, oh Lord, here I am in another battle. Are you going to show up? Are you going to be there for me? And I thought as he told those men, he told them so many times. He said, I got to go away. He said, they're going to kill me, but I'll raise this temple in 3 days. And he told them so many times, but when it came down to it, they forgot everything that he told them. And I thought sometimes we'll get in a storm and forget what he's told us. We'll forget how many times he said, I'll be there. I'll be there always. And I thought as they started walking with him and talking with him, and there's so many scriptures or so many things that wasn't even wrote down. And I've thought how so many times, and I'll say this, you know that day that he walked on the water and they went to the other side? I don't know about anybody else, but if I would have seen him walk on water, when we got over to the other side, I wouldn't have been like, okay, well, it's time for bed. I'm just going to lay down. I would have sat down with him, and I would have wanted to talk to him for the rest of the night. I'll say this. There's times I don't like going to sleep. Sean can vouch. A lot of times we'll get talking about the Lord, and I want to stay up all night. And he said, I got to go to bed. Sleep don't bother me that much. But I love talking about whenever the Lord starts passing by, I can stay up all night. So Jesus probably would have said, listen, I'm going to go on to bed a couple times to me. But that's all right. But I'm saying, whenever he did these miracles, you got to think, they didn't just go to bed. They got to sit and talk with him. They got to sit like he was their dearest friend. He told them things that has never been wrote down that they got to hear that we'll never even know. That's how close they were. So they had so many different conversations on top of all the things that we know and reread. Can you imagine some of the questions that they asked that aren't wrote down? So on top of all the things, all the miracles that they already saw, they had a whole other friendship with him that we don't even know about. So much more. And yet, even in those times, they'd still doubt. They'd still say, oh, what's going to happen now? And as he died, and I thought about how they went to the grave and went to check on him, and we don't know if we'll even read, but Mary went and said that she went and she thought he was the gardener because he changed his appearance somehow. I don't understand that,
But I tell you what, there's been sometimes he's standing right in front of me and I don't even recognize he's trying to help me. But she's standing right there with him and she thought he's the gardener. And until he spoke her name, she didn't see him. And he said, Mary. And she stopped and she said, Lord, it's you. I tell you what, sometimes he has to speak my name to get my attention. Sometimes he has to say my name and make sure I'm listening intently. A lot of times we want to just go our own way. And I tell you what, when we get in trouble and we think that all hope is gone, we want to throw up our hands and roll around on the floor and say, oh, woe is me. I don't know what's going to happen. Why is it? And we just want to throw a low fit. Tell you what, I think we're all that way to some extent. We want to say, oh, I don't know what to do, like we have never been here before. Like he hasn't always shown up. But I tell you what, Mary wrapped him up, you know, or she wanted to hug him. He said, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended. And he told her to go back and tell all the others. I tell you what, you know, I've thought so many times, doubting Thomas. He said, well, you know, he appeared and he wasn't around. He said, well, I won't believe unless I thrust my hand into his side. He showed up, said he just appeared in the room, and he said, here I am, Simon. Thomas, he said, look at my scars. Look what, you know, and I thought how so many times he has to go above and beyond what he should before we believe him. It ought not take him having to do all that. If I think it's funny how we are. We'll sooner believe a lie than believe the truth, even though he's got a perfect track record. Devil say something to us, and we'll lean in. And we'll start believing that lie before he's even done. We'll say, oh yeah, this ain't gonna work out. It's always gonna, this is gonna go bad, and something's gonna go wrong. And the whole time God's saying, I've got this if you'll just trust me. And when we start leaning on him and trusting him, then everything's all right. But I thought, let me just read this scripture right here. And over in Luke in chapter 24. In the 13th verse, it says, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And this is another time they didn't recognize him at a... And they was walking right with him. And it said, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, and ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And this is the part. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Now, I think it's funny, they didn't even recognize him, and he said he didn't even know who they was talking about. Then all of a sudden, he starts expounding all the scriptures in which concern him. And yet they still didn't sing. He just said he didn't even know what they was talking about. Then all of a sudden, he starts expounding all the scriptures concerning him. And I love it. It goes on. It says, "And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made them as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" If your heart don't burn within you sometimes, when he starts expounding things, when he starts showing you things in the scripture, and I'll say this, if you don't read the word, and the only time you feel him is in church, you still can say, it's amazing how good he is. But how much more that you can say if you spend more time in the word and enjoy talking to him there too. See, those men that got to walk and talk with him, they didn't just walk and talk with him just in the scripture, but they even had a personal relationship beyond what the scripture even talks about. But yet we all get doubtful, and we wonder when he's going to show up, how he's going to do it. And I think a lot of times we say why a lot more than saying, whatever your will is, Lord, I know you'll show up when you want. I know it'll all work out. It's all in your timing. But I love what it said. Did our hearts not burn within ourselves, within us? And I thought, how in the world didn't they see him the whole time? How didn't they see him when he is walking and talking with them? And then especially when he expounded all the scripture that concerned him. Because when the Lord shows up, you know the spirit that he walks and talks with. And it amazes me that they walked and talked with him, and the Spirit showed up, and yet they still wouldn't see him. But I tell you what, goes on another scripture about Peter and them, and they said, well, I'm just going to go back out to fishing. I'm just going to go back to what I was doing before I even met him. Tell you what, you can go back out the way you came, and you won't find no peace whatsoever. If you want to go back to the things, the life that you lived before, you will be miserable. And I tell you what, it said that Peter and those boys, and here's the thing, when you get out, you'll take somebody with you. Peter went out, and a couple of them said, well, we'll just go too. I've heard a lot of people say, well, it don't make no difference whether I serve him or not. My life's my own, and it just affects me. I tell you what, somebody is watching your life. Whether you want them to or not, somebody's watched your life. And if you say that I've been saved by the grace of God, then they're watching you. And when you go outside the norm and you start doing something that isn't characteristic of a Christian, and they say, well, if he can do it, I can do it. Well, if it ain't hurting him, it ain't going to hurt me. And they feel like they can do whatever they want. So old Peter, he went out and he started fishing. And I love it said that he toiled all night. They threw to the left, threw to the right, threw everywhere they could. And here's the thing, those men had fished all their life. They knew where the good spots were. They knew what should be there. They knew how to bait them in, how to draw them in. They knew everything that should have been done. And they went all night and didn't catch anything. So they just wore out. Then Jesus came walking on the shore. He said, won't you cast your net on the other side? They said, well, let's try it. We tried everything else. They threw it out. Said it's so much that they couldn't hardly even bring it in for the net about to break. Then one of them recognized him. Said, that's Jesus. Now I want you to see this. When they got Jesus, Peter had denied him three times. They said, do you know this man? He said, I don't know him. Asked him again, you sound like him. They said, your speech betrayeth you. You're one of his men. He said, I don't know him. Then it said that he cursed to even make it sound like he didn't eat. Well, here, I'll just talk a little bit different. Tell you what.
You can be at work, you can try to talk and fit in, try to talk like everybody else talks. And I don't know about anybody else, but there's been some that I've heard talk, and this speech just don't line up with how they are. It sounds like they're almost gagging or choking on curse words because they don't say them. And then other people I've heard talk, and it sounds like they're fluent. Sounds like they could just say all kinds of words and it don't even bother them because they don't know any better. But I tell you what, if you're one of his, it ought to make you about choke when you say something that ain't natural. That doesn't line up with God's word, because who you are on the inside should come out with your speech. And I tell you what, old Peter got one of the best compliments he ever got. They said, your speech betrays you. You sound like him. I tell you what, that'd be one of the best compliments some of us could ever get. That we sound so much like Christ that they say, you sound like him. He got the best compliment and right around, turned around, and then did the exact opposite of what he should have done. But I tell you what, that wasn't his battle to fight either. It wasn't meant for him. But I tell you what, he got off the ship, and it said as soon as he seen it was Jesus, said he jumped in and went swimming. Said he went right to him and said, I'm going. I ain't waiting on nobody else. So this is one of the first times that Peter got to see him after all this. And when he got up to the shore, this is when Jesus asked him, he said, Peter, do you love me? This is one of my favorite things about this. He asked him three times. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, Lord, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep. He asked him again. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. And then again, he said, Peter, do you love me? At this point, he is pretty distraught. He said, Lord, you know I do. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He let him. This is how great God is. Jesus could have said, you denied me three times. How could you have done that? You know what Jesus does, what God does? He don't bring up your past. I've heard so many times people say, I don't like going to church because I feel bad. That ain't God. God will show you where you at. Peter already knew what he did. Peter already lost a lot of sleep. I can guarantee it, because there's been times I've not acted the way I should. And nobody has to tell me that I'll get a whipping, because God lets you know who you are and what you should be acting like. Tell you what, but Peter, the first instance that he got, Jesus came to him and he asked him those three times. He said, do you love me? He never once said, you're so horrible for denying me. But what he did was he let him come right back to where he was. He didn't have to bring up his past. He didn't have to say how bad he was. But he gave him an opportunity to get back where he needed. Tell you what, if you've been away for a long time, nobody has to tell you how bad you are, how awful you are. Doesn't have to do that. If you've went away from God, you know exactly where you are. And God don't have to whip you, but I tell you what, the one who beats you up all the time, that's the devil. He'll tell you all the wrong, all the times that you messed up, how horrible you are, and he'll bring it up every time. But I tell you what, God's always saying, I love you. Come back. Come back. But I say, you will have to say, I'm sorry. And how Peter said it was, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I tell you what, if you don't know him, and you can't sing a song every now and then with all your heart, and as they are singing tonight, there's a couple songs that just started filling up my heart, but when Emily got up, I thought, man, if I don't make it tomorrow and you don't ever see me again, you don't have to worry about me. I'm glad that I got something, I believe in something, that it'll carry me on over. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen after. I have no idea how great heaven's going to be, Terry. I've heard a lot of good things about it. But I tell you what, even if it don't have the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, all those beautiful things, and here's the thing is, all those things, the reason why they spoke of those things like that is because that's how small-minded we are. How beautiful heaven really is, they couldn't even begin to tell the beauty of it. But it related to things that we actually know and that we can relate to. Gold is a precious gold, a precious metal, jewels and rubies and all these things. He related to things that we would understand. But I tell you what, the day that we finally get there and that gate swings open, all the things that we've heard ain't going to compare to how great that place really is.
But the greatest thing is seeing our Savior. I hope you know Him. I hope you can say, I know without a shadow of a doubt what I've got. I hope you can say that you know that you're saved. That you know, that you know, that you know. And I tell you what, if you doubt any at all, I would beg of you. I know I've heard a lot of people say, well, don't beg them to get saved. The man that rich man that woke up and said that his eyes looked up in hell, I tell you what, if he was here, said that he cried out and said, go tell my brothers, go tell them all. He said, go, I don't want them to come to this awful place. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's all where all my friends are, I want to go to. I tell you what, if you got anybody in hell, they do not want you to go there. If they love you at all, they're doing just like that rich man saying, don't come to this awful place. And he cried out. But I tell you what, it said that Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. He didn't hear any of that. Tell you what, I believe whenever the ark shut and that door shut, I don't believe that Noah or any of his family heard any of the screaming and wailing going on. When God comes to get his people, we ain't going to hear any of that. We ain't going to hear it. We're going to have peace. Tell you what, and heaven ain't a place that you look back and say, oh, I wish this and wish that. Heaven is going to be beyond all this mortal flesh and all the wants and desires of this. It's so great that you can't even comprehend how good heaven will be. But I tell you what, there's a place called hell, and it's worse than anything you could ever imagine. Tell you what, as good as heaven is, hell is just the opposite. It's the worst place you could ever be. And I tell you what, I would never want anybody to live. I thought how if I had to relive my worst day on this earth, that'd be an awful thing. Think of your worst day, the worst trial, the worst pain, all those things. Hell is so much worse than the worst day you've ever had. If you don't want to live that day over and over and over, tell you what, hell is so much worse than that. If you don't want to go to that awful place, I pray that you call out to Jesus and get saved. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in that spot. If you don't want to die and go to hell, I promise you God will give you an opportunity to get saved. I know that ain't much, but that's all I got.
We appreciate Brother Aaron. We love him. He's brought a lot of good thoughts to our hearts tonight. Anybody else got anything on your heart? I'm glad the Lord let us come this way to worship tonight. I want to say this. I had this on my mind earlier, and I want to say it before I get away from here. I appreciate the people that came to Danny Mag's viewing or his funeral, or those that couldn't come, those that prayed, and all the people that came and cooked for the dinner that the family ate, and those that served that, and that really touched that family's heart. And it, and not just Danny's funeral, all the funerals we have, I appreciate the work our women do and our men. And I just thank the Lord for you, and I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad we got to come to worship. Anything on anybody's heart before we come to close? Pray for service Sunday, and God willing, we'll be having a baptizing Sunday. Pray for the baptizing. That's a lot of times there's people come to a baptizing that don't ever come to anything else. If not, let's everybody stand.
Listening to the song that the brother sang, and it was the ankle cords, my ankle cords.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that no matter what storms
bring
my way, I have that anchor. I'm thankful that it holds. I don't have to go dead. It
makes
me.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got anything? Let's go pray and come pray. I'm going to say you're at liberty to go.